great to be back now with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff. And coach, it's been, I want to say it's been a few months. It seems longer than that, but welcome back to MSO.
Thanks, Rick. It's good to be on, and talking to you again.
Absolutely. And coach, before we even get started, I want to ask a little bit about the transition from spring, to fall. I've talked to a few coaches, including, Brian St. Pierre over at, over at St. John's Prep, and Brian Vaughn over at Lynn Classical, and the consensus seems to be that spring football was a real positive for high school sports.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It because of the fact that the kids, you know, obviously you're, what made it a positive in the first place is the fact that you took something away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with, you know, with anybody, they wanted it more. So after missing it in the fall, I think for a lot of people, you get the opportunity to appreciate something a little bit more. So certainly we had probably, and I think you and I had spoken about this, that the most enthusiastic practices,
yeah.
The kids were really into it. Everything was different. Everything was new, and the kids missed it. As good as that is, the transition's been a little weird. It was really good for football. But I'll tell you, in our case, one of the things that happened is baseball happened so fast, lacrosse happened so fast. Then those sports lingered longer into July as the MIA had mandated. And what I felt like was when we got to the midpoint of July, where normally it's like, okay, let's turn on football mode again. I thought we had a little bit more difficult time doing that. Now, certainly the kids, we had 7-on-7s going, and the kids were fired up for that type of stuff. But the idea of getting back into, we're putting the pads on and all that, was a bit much. So when we got to the normal first week of August, where we do some things, at like a Bishop Fenwick camp and things like that, we chose not to do it this year because it really did feel like we had just played football a month ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So it did change a little bit. So as great as it was in the spring, I'm a stickler for, you know, consistency. And so for me, August felt weird by not doing things the way we did them exactly the same.
Yeah.
So that made it a little bit strange, but certainly it helped the enthusiasm for football. Our numbers came back in the fall, which we weren't sure about, so it was definitely good.
Well, Tim Kearns talks about muscle groups and stuff like that when athletes are playing different sports, and it takes time to transition from one to the other. So those kids who did that, I mean, you had to get them back into football condition. And so the transition, coach, you've had a couple of weeks, which you didn't have in the spring. So were you able to smooth things out and get your kids back into a routine?
Yeah, and yes, and a little bit of it, though, has to do with the classes, too. You know, we had such a strong senior class in the spring that they kind of coached themselves, and they would be, you could give them a set of instructions, and it was completed to the utmost detail.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a new set of captains, a new group of kids, and how that team is going to interact with each other and the way that they need to be motivated and led is going to be different. And so you're trying to the first 2 weeks you're trying to figure out that is, what do I need to do? How do you push the buttons with a certain group of kids? And how much different is it going to be than last year? So there's a little bit of that. But as far as the conditioning goes, yeah, these guys should have been in better condition. They had played less than 6 months ago. They played football. Less than 3 months ago, they had played lacrosse or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did our normal, this year compared to years past, we were able to go back and do our normal lifts and runs and things like that during the summer. So the kids should have been, and are, I think, in better shape. But at the same time, you have to be concerned about, okay, did we just go 8 months in a row of putting wear and tear on their legs without a break?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's
interesting. So, you know, there's good and bad to everything. You know, I hate to sound like glum right now, you know, it's a good point, but this is the bad part. So
yeah.
Just have to be conscious of kind of both sides of it.
Well, it's also new, and this is so out of character with what high school football coaches are used to. You have a routine, and it's a 12-month deal. You know, it's almost 365 days a year. So this thing is all out of whack, and the kids have been very resilient. And before we even get into it, Coach, you're telling me you actually have a team dinner back once again. I mean, that was probably shelved during COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, so during COVID, we did one at the very end, and it was outside. The school had rented a tent that we were using for our music department to do their classes. And so we just used it there. We kind of set up picnic tables, sat, you know, socially distant, each other as we munched on sandwiches. But this year, the regular team dinners are back. Again, there's some COVID protocols that dictate a few things that we, whether or not we're doing it inside or outside. But just to have the kids together with their parents, with the coaches, you know, that's something special. We haven't done that in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, Coach, I'm looking, and it's tough, and I apologize for this, but it's very difficult to broadcast, obviously, from Piper. But I'm looking at the wrap-up on the Salem News, and it's very limited in terms of your win over Concord Carlisle 28-0. Tell me a little bit about how you got that matchup, because the first 3 weeks, you got to be a little creative this season.
Yeah, so when the switch was made over to the new playoff system, I think it became clear one that we really have to try to go out and find people that are going to match the playoff criteria of how you get points and whatnot. So, you know, at least for my purposes, you immediately just go to the people who are the teams that are winning Super Bowls or always, you know, getting to the finish line of each season with 9 or 10 or 11 wins. And so for us, we just started making phone calls from there. And one of the teams that responded right away was Concord Carlisle. They needed a week one game. And their team that, I believe it was 2007, 8, and maybe 11 that they were in the Super Bowl, or at least in the state semifinals. And it has always been a great program. We knew that at that time Beverly and Danvers were going to be changing their offenses. And we kind of had an idea that we were going to be seeing some more wing tee. And that's what Concord Carlisle plays too. So it just made a lot of sense for us. We didn't have too many wing tee opponents anymore in the Northeast Conference. So that was the other goal, was to try to get some games against gun wing tee teams. So we were able to accomplish that, get a couple of good things done. It's a great, you know, well-coached team. Really, really was a good game for us. You know, we got a chance to travel, get out of here. But at the same time, play a team that was very well disciplined, very well coached, mm-hmm. and just was a good first game for us.
Coaches I've talked with so far, you know, they talk about the first game jitters, the first game mistakes, especially with younger players. And, you know, Marblehead, you guys have had a history over there of not rebuilding, but reloading. In terms of discipline and that kind of thing, Jim, and when you look at the films, what are you most pleased with about your team from the opening game?
A little bit of it would be resiliency, and in a strange way, because we did make a lot of mistakes, as you said. You know, we have, as much as we have a core group of about 5 skill players back, everyone else is playing in their first varsity football game. So we had a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of things that needed to be corrected. But I think more than anything else, just coming out of it with a W on, with that team, you know, there are so many question marks. We didn't, you know, we've never been to Concord Carlisle's field before. We've never played them. Not familiar with the opponents that they play. So when you're looking at film, you don't know how good the team that they're either losing to badly or beating up on is. So there's so many unknowns. And so for the kids just to make it through all those unknowns and end up with a win, more than anything else is that, you know, we at least got that one out of the way type mm-hmm. of thing.
Well, your skilled players are mentioned in the paper, and they're very familiar to most fans in the Northeastern Conference. Jim, can you tell me a lineman who stood out on either side of the ball after you're watching the film, and someone that you said, okay, this is the way it's supposed to be done, very happy with his first game?
It's funny because our line is that's kind of the thing. You know, we have one returning lineman. The guy that I'll point out is a guy, Ned Fitzgerald, who is a captain of the wrestling team and quit football, or I shouldn't say quit, but chose not to play last year because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And he had always been with the program. So we didn't really even count on Ned being a big part of the team this year. It would be nice to have him back. But, you know, after missing a year, you're usually going to struggle a little bit. And Ned did a great job on both sides of the ball for us against Concord. And, you know, it wasn't just that only Ned played well. The kids around him on the line did a nice job too. But mm-hmm. to come back after a full year of not playing football and have the game that he did was really encouraging for us.
All right, I got a couple more things to go here, and then we're going to talk something that's very sad. So happy that you guys are playing Lynn Classic. It gives us at MSO News Sports a chance to go to Manning where we can broadcast the game, and it's a beautiful, beautiful setting. But also to rekindle that Northeastern Conference rivalry, you guys playing at Classical, and they had a pretty big opening day win.
Yeah, they did. We're glad to be there. You know, we feel the same way. I don't mean this as kind of a psych, but I love Manning Field. That's a great, like, just to coach there, to play, and the kids love playing there. It's just a great stadium. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone really enjoys going there to play. I know that, you know, home teams don't like to hear that other teams are excited, but it's a beautiful place to go and play. And so we're excited about that, but I really enjoy playing the Lynn teams because of the fact that it's an away game that is honestly 10 minutes away.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's crazy, but we're very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
Brian does a great job there. He's going to make you work for everything you get. Watching the film, scouting them after their big win against Lexington, you know, there's a lot of things that you see that they do well the different things that Brian does a really nice job of seeing what the other team is trying to do to him and bases what he's going to do offensively off of that. But also within that little game he's playing, he knows his guys really well. He knows what they do well, and he puts people in a position to succeed. And it's always a challenge to coach against him.
Loving that and looking forward to it. I appreciate that. Coach, finally on a sad note, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk about this, a former student of mine and a young man, a coach who's very popular on the North Shore, coaching at Beverly, Marblehead, and Gloucester, Ben Goodhue. We got the word that he passed away today, and everybody knew that he wasn't doing well, and it really sucks to coin a phrase. But maybe a comment or two, if you would, Coach, on how Ben melded with your team, because every time when I went over there to broadcast a game or just to cover a game, he was so enthusiastic on the sidelines and always would come over to say hi to us.
Yeah, I mean, a sad day. I know that Ben's been sick for a while, and this was inevitable at some point, I think. But you don't expect it to happen. He's so young. Ben, every time you spoke to him, he'd just run 15 miles or ran a race. And I'm talking about Ben when he was sick, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was constant, and you'd never seen anything like it. He was a machine. So just the idea that Ben's no longer with us is hard, just because you just don't, that's not Ben. Like, he's just a very strong person. But, Ben at Marblehead High School was like having a second head coach. Nobody loves high school football or loves high school football more than Ben. He would go to scout a 7-on-7. He would go to a camp. He would watch film, watch video. Mrs. Goodhue, when Ben was here and was sick, and I had conversations of how we could stop Ben from doing as much as he was doing, watching so much film, staying up late, having to say, I don't need him here watching film, he should be home. You know, it was mm-hmm. just like, it was very, very unbelievable how much, like, his willpower could overcome his sickness to be able to coach the kids at his sickest. And I'll always just be wowed by that I don't know if there's a lot of human beings that would continue doing stuff for kids when they're that sick.
Well, I know that that was his goal, Coach, was to work with kids, but he also absolutely loved working with you and working with Dan Bauer, working with Paul Ingram, and working with so many great coaches and teachers across the North Shore. So I appreciate that tribute. He was a former student of mine and just a great, great kid. So I thank you so much.
And a great coach. And again, it's the last thing I'll say on it is, yes, I've never met a man that wanted to coach football more than that.
All right.
And there's there's literally no one else out there that he, the dude's a football coach. You know, that was Ben Goodhue, and a good dad too.
Oh, absolutely. A great family man, and a great family. Up and down the whole line for the Goodhues. All right, we're going to end it right here. That's Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.